Motherhood is hard. One second, we think we're doing a good enough job, and the next, we feel like the worst mom on the planet, which is why we need the refreshing truth of the gospel to be repeated over and over, giving us hope in the everyday moments. So, Mama, whether you're sipping cold coffee or doing a sink full of dishes, we hope you'll find truth, encouragement, and laughter here. This is the Risen Motherhood Podcast. Thanks for joining us.
Well, welcome back to another episode of Risen Motherhood. I'm Emily Jensen here with my sister-in-law, Laura Wiffler.
Hello.
And today we are just going to dive right in to talk about hospitality and children and kind of the whole nine yards, which is sometimes a very overwhelming topic in motherhood and something that we want to do as believers. But it's definitely something that we want to think about and understand and know why it is so important that we apply that not only for the sake of the gospel, but also as just a really great teaching tool. So we're just going to just jump right in today, right, Laura?
Yes, that's right. We're diving deep. Yeah. Yeah. I grew up in a house, I think, that they practice a lot of hospitality, my mom and dad. It was definitely full on. Every weekend there was somebody coming over for something, a lot of impromptu meetings. So it's something that my husband have a huge passion area. So I'm really excited to talk about this today. But it has definitely gotten harder. It used to be so much easier before kids. And now with kids, I feel like there are so many more factors. So.
Totally. And obviously I'm married to Laura's brother, so he's kind of cut from the same cloth, experienced the same things growing up and just, yeah, a ton of hospitality. And I've enjoyed the hospitality of Laura's parents, my in-laws. But I think it's, you know, that's not always been like a passion area for me. If I were to like, look at all the different ways I do ministry in life, like hospitality is like, definitely it's on the list, but it's not at the top of the list. Mm-hmm. And so, I definitely think with young kids, it's been just taking it day by day and month by month sometimes and saying, how does the Lord want us to lay down like our comforts and sacrifice and extend, you know, what we have been given to others and enjoy those relationships. So it's definitely been a process for me.
Yeah. Well, with kids, I mean, I think no matter how good you are at hospitality, how naturally it comes to you, it definitely becomes more sacrificial. It becomes difficult for even the most hostess with the mostest, I guess. So, the gospel, this is Risen Motherhood. This is where, remember, Em, I want our intro. We need like some transition music where we do, we do the gospel for Risen Motherhood, but anyway, we don't have that right now. So let's chat through the gospel really quick. We have a couple different things, to speak of here. I think the first thing, just if we look at God's word, you know, we're going to find hospitality all over the place. And in the Old Testament, it was a command for the Israelites. And when the people traveled around back then, they had to rely on the kindness of strangers. You know, you can go to Leviticus 19 to see God's law on this and his love for the traveler, for the sojourner. He commanded the people to treat others, to love him as you love yourself. So they were called to remember how they were outsiders in Egypt, and now they are called to show the love of God that they received when they were rescued from Egypt. And you can even look at Genesis 18. I think that's one of the most popular examples of hospitality in the Old Testament, where Abraham and Sarah were entertaining three strangers. And they did all this great stuff that you can read as an example of great hospitality. And it turned out that they were entertaining angels, and one of them was Christ himself. So, and again, you can see in the New Testament, this just continues, this charge for believers, especially with the early church. You can see it in Romans, Hebrews, 1 Peter, 1 Timothy, Titus. All of these are charging the church body to show hospitality to each other, to strangers and to friends, Jews and Gentiles. And it was even a requirement for church leadership.
Yes. Whoa. It is everywhere in scripture.
Sorry. I just like blasted
that
y'all.
Was like an awesome overview. But I think like, so I'll just be really honest here, because I think we've been in this habit of just like burying our souls on Risen Motherhood.
Oh dear, here we go.
I think like, just like all of those almost feel like really burdensome to me. You know, mm-hmm. I feel like I've been a believer for a while. Like I know I know I'm supposed to be showing hospitality. Like, I know we're supposed to be opening our home. I want to be like that. But it's just, like, for me, I think it's been hard to find motivation by just the biblical examples, mm-hmm. which is mm-hmm. why it's been helpful. As Laura and I were thinking about this show, to, like, process through why. Like, why does it matter to God? Why does he love hospitality? And I've enjoyed thinking through just, like, even in the garden, how, think about how hospitable God was by creating this gorgeous place, you know, for mankind to live. And, you know, they had good food and they had work to do and they had a purpose and they had good fellowship with God. And so if there is, like, an originator of good hospitality, it is the Lord.
God is the hostess with the mostess.
Yes, yes. And then, of course, we know that, you know, do Adam and Eve appreciate that and trust God? No. sin enters, and we're definitely selfish beings who are always looking out for our own interests. And so hospitality is very difficult for our sinful, selfish hearts. But we know that God made a way for his people to come back to him and be reconciled through Jesus. And that was something that happened, like, at great personal cost to Christ. Like, he laid down everything to the point of death for us so that we could be back in God's kingdom again and someday in new heaven, new earth, experience that, you know, feasting at the table again, being with the Lord, being in fellowship with him, being in a place that is beautiful and, you know, enjoyable with people we love. You know, it's just kind of this ultimate big picture of hospitality, and it's exciting and it's undeserved.
Yeah. And I think when we hear this side of hospitality, I totally agree with you, Em, that it just, I think it rises within me, like, this desire to model God's heart, because we want to love mm-hmm. things that God loves, to hate the things that he hates. And, you know, this beautiful story of the gospel, hospitality is all over it. And so even when it costs us something, you know, and not even close to the cost that it cost Jesus, but when it costs us time, our energy, our money, sleep, routine, crabby kids, all of those fun things. When we image God, we are showing them a picture of the gospel and just how radical God's love is. And so I think that hopefully this picture of what God has done for us starts to motivate you and grow in you a love for just exemplifying the same things that God loves. Because this is how we draw others. We are a light. We are salt and light to the earth. And we draw others to image him.
Yeah. So as you're basking in that, now we're going to get all the objections. They're all going to surface. Yeah. So maybe you have, like, lots of little kids at home. Maybe you have one little kid that's just, like, really difficult, in a difficult season right now. Maybe you have a newborn that you're like, I'm going to have to nurse this baby in the middle of the meal. And, like, our guests are going to want to be talking and, like, I can't pay attention because I have little ones that need to get down for a nap. Or maybe there's a bedtime issue that you're having to deal with. Other issues maybe that your husband maybe travels some or he's gone a lot. And so you kind of feel like, I don't know, is this something I can do, like, by myself with my kids? Maybe you have a kiddo with some special needs or considerations, like, oh, we've got lots of food allergies in our house. Or I have a kiddo that needs almost my full attention while people are here. How do I deal with that? Maybe you are a working mom to whatever degree, and, you know, life is just really busy, and you're like, I want to get home and just provide food for my own family. And then maybe you also have older kids, and there's, like, activities. I don't even know. I haven't even gotten into that realm yet, but I watch other people do it, and I'm like, wow, that's really busy. How do you make space for hospitality? So there's certainly a lot of things that come up.
Yes, there are so many variances, but we can see that no matter where you're at or what life stage you're in with your kids, hospitality is still a wonderful teaching tool. I think that's one of the reasons why I love hospitality so much, is that it really shows our children so many different facets of the gospel. And I think that a lot of this is done through modeling, through the hosting of itself, but also a lot of it is done through communicating around it, before it, after it, during it. I think that's where those truths are. They come full circle for our children, and they're able to see, oh, this is why we do this. And so one of the first things that hospitality can show our kids is God's love for all people, both the stranger and our friend. Hearts are changed in the living room. You know, that is where the gospel does its work. People, you know, it's getting more and more difficult to invite people to church these days, as there are so many stereotypes or just personal histories that hinder people from being open to something called church. But to come into your home, I mean, most people are super excited and willing to do that. It's a comfortable, welcoming, inviting place. And so with in front of our children, it can show that, hey, we have believers in our home and we have unbelievers in our home, you know, and I think it shows them a heart for the lost, and also how encouraging and refreshing it is for us and our own souls to meet with people that also love Jesus. And so one big thing that just practically that I'm working with my kids is, you know, ways to involve our children, I guess, is teaching them to make conversation, to ask good questions. It can show our children that everyone who comes into our home, we want to show them the good news of Jesus. With my son and my daughter, we're working on having them just talk to people who come in. And I know with little kids, a lot of times they can shy away or get nervous or not want to talk. And, you know, we're like, we don't have to have a full conversation with them, but we want you to be polite and show kindness, even if you don't feel comfortable with this person. And so, you know, we talk him through that and we talk about it afterwards. And it's just kind of amazing to see the transformation as he's had practice. And also just as we prep him for it, then when we're just like, oh, hey, talk, dude, talk to this stranger, you know?
Yeah, totally. And what Laura just mentioned is a great universal tip if you're wanting to train your kids in anything, which is talk about it before, teach them how, do it, and then kind of talk about it afterwards, how it went. Pre-post activities, super yes. good stuff there. Yes. Some other things real quick, like just modeling for our children that we want to be generous, that all of the possessions that we have belong to the Lord ultimately. I was just reading a scripture yesterday about eternity and all of the wealth and all of the riches that God has lavished on us. And it is funny when I think about what we're going to have forever, how, like, why do we hold on to what we have right now? Like, it doesn't matter. We should spend it all for Christ. Like, it, we shouldn't be holding on to it because we have so much wonderful riches and comfort coming. And so I think it can just be a way to show that to our children. And then finally, just teaching our kids, like, to have a servant heart and to lay down what they want to do in order to care for others in really practical ways. Like, help set the table and see if they need any help with anything, like their coat. And this all kind of overlaps, but all good yeah. stuff.
Yeah. My mom growing up, if you spent any amount of time with me ever, you've probably heard me say, see needs and meet them. That was my mom's mantra. And she drilled it into us as kids that no matter where we went, if the dishes need washed, well, that's you. That's you. She would just, you know, it didn't matter if we were at someone's house who we knew really, really well, or at someone's house who we didn't know well. We try to be able to serve whomever's house we're in. And so even in our own homes, we want to see needs and meet them. So if someone needs a drink, or if someone, needs, you know, their coat hung up or whatever it is. And that's something too, I'm working on with my children of like, hey, can you go take this napkin to, you know, Mr. Steve over there. And, you know, we kind of just encourage them. Even my 3-year-old and my 2-year-old can learn how to see needs and meet them, even if mom's seeing them and then the child is meeting them. But that's something you can do right away.
Yeah, totally. So if you are listening and you're like, hey, I want to get started on this, or like, now I'm feeling all the motivation and like all the excitement, you know, what are some things that you could do, we could do, I could do, I need this?
Yeah, we all need
this. I think, you know, we went through a few examples in scripture of like hospitality, but that can be something you can just be on the lookout for as you're yep. reading scripture, doing your Bible study, whatever it is you're working through right now. And also just be praying, you know, even day by day, like, God, you know, what would you, is there somebody that you want me to reach out to today or invite over, or just bring into our home for deeper relationship? I think sometimes I can get in kind of like radical mode of like, okay, what's this like big crazy hospitality thing I can do? And really it's like, hey, we already have some people in our lives that like probably wouldn't mind coming over. Like, and it's just a simple, it's probably a simple, smaller thing for mm-hmm. me that I miss, or even just brainstorming. Like my husband loves to brainstorm when we're going to have people
me too,
over.
Me too.
You and Brad need to get together and host a big event, Laura.
We used to.
And so I, you know, even just like entertaining that and processing through that and then getting it on the calendar, you know, mm-hmm. even if it's not something that we send out invites for, it's like that prompting there. So lots of good ideas.
Yeah. And just make it part of your natural rhythm. You know, as I was kind of saying, my husband and I's tendency is to overextend. And I know, right now we say, okay, we're not going to throw this big elaborate Easter brunch because that's a little bit difficult for us in this season of young kids, but we strive to host, you know, twice a month. And however that's going to look, if it's, and it's super impromptu, order pizza, use paper plates. I mean, don't overthink the hosting. Isn't about, you know, getting out your big, your really nice plates and making sure that you have fine china and all this stuff. It's just about gathering together. And so don't overcomplicate it. I know, Emily, you guys kind of invest deep in a few select people, right? So I like that. Yeah. Talk about that for a sec.
Yeah. Well, I think, again, in this season, we've got 4 young kids and I'm pregnant. And so it's just like kind of mass chaos. So we have a college student and my husband has a high school student that we're responsible for. And we're like always just if no one else, like we have these people as part of our natural rhythm. And we try to see them, at least our college student, every week and see how can she come into our home more? How can she have a bedroom here, have a place here? And maybe we can't have like all the house parties right now, but like here's something that we feel like the Lord is leading us to do. And she's cool with our hot mess. So we love it. And we're hopefully doing these things in the name of Christ, which is like what Laura was saying is really what matters. And what I'm learning is like, this is about relationship with people mm-hmm. and talking to them about Jesus and growing with them and less about all of the other details. Although yeah. those can be a tool to minister to people.
Right. And I think that for me, I have a big mouth and I'm like, hey, let's hang out. You know, like suddenly, randomly, I just got the idea that I want to spend time with a person. And so, you know, we've learned to, we do some stuff after bedtime where people have babysitters are a little cheaper sometimes. Or we do things that are mid-morning play dates. So there's no meal happening. So get creative. If there's like a hindrance for you, get creative. And there are definitely ways around it. No excuse is insurmountable. So, and the last thing is just learn from others in your life. And if there is something that you're getting hung up on, like, what do I do with these muddy shoes in the winter? There are so many of them. Or what recipe do I make with for gluten-free or for a lot of kids plus a lot of adults? What coffee carafe do I use? I mean, there are like, as I've grown in hosting, I'm like, these are some really good tools that I like to have on hand. And it's helped my experience to make hosting enjoyable because when you have the right equipment and so talk to someone who you know is a great host and learn from them. So I think we need to wrap up here, but hospitality is going to look really different for every family in every season. We really want to hit that home, but know that it's still something that we hope you can grow a love for and grow and improve in and really see the gospel revealed in your own life and in others' lives as you guys begin an attitude and a practice of hospitality. So just remember that it's an overflow of what Jesus mm-hmm. has done for you and of all the things that you've been given. So of course, you can find us on social media. As always, we are on iTunes. That's not social media, is it? Whatever. we are on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And then, of course, find us on iTunes. Leave us a rating and review. We'd love that. Have a great day.